Hello, Airgun Geeks. This episode is The Road Back from Armac 2022. Hope everyone's doing well. Got an exciting podcast coming up. This week, we're going to be listening to multiple interviews from multiple competitors that were at Armac, checking out what Armac means to them, what competitions they were in, and what air guns they were shooting. So sit back and relax and enjoy the podcast. Well, welcome to the podcast, PJ. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. It's a pleasure you taking time out of your very busy competition day to sit down with the Air Gun Geeks and give us some experience.
It's awesome. And the funny thing about the opening day, the way they've run the schedule this year, is this is a good day to do an interview because it's not as busy as some of the other days. I don't shoot till I think 4 o'clock. So,
oh wow,
it's kind of like get here at 7:30. We've got a briefing, which has to be done. I understand that.
Yeah.
And then I look at my thing and I'm like, oh, okay, I got some time to kill.
Cool.
And my challenge is this is when the nerves come in.
Yeah.
So I start anticipating how's it going to be, and so I'm ready. Let's go shoot.
So that leads into this. What does Armac mean to PJ Clark?
Wow. So I think you're the second person to ask me that, which makes us feel a little bit like an MMPI personality inventory. So I hope I say just about the same thing all the time. For me, the opportunity to connect with people who share the same passion that I share. I walked into school, into work, this was earlier this year, and a couple of announcements in the airgun world had happened, and, you know, I had spent too much time that morning looking at Instagram and, you know, texting with people I know, oh, you can tell me about this, let's hear about that. Super excited about it. I got out of my car at work, and I'm walking across the parking lot. And I stopped, and I looked around, 100, 200 cars in the parking lot, and I thought to myself, there's not one of these people who drove into school today excited about that thing.
Mm.
I'm all alone. And you come to Armac, and everybody's here is excited about the same things I'm excited about. And you can turn around a corner and you can talk to somebody about something and you can stop in the middle and you can see something that's brand new coming out. And so between the relationship and the fact that I feel like I belong in a place where everybody else is interested in the same thing I'm interested to, that's what is the top of my list for, you know, what I really like mm-hmm. and what I look forward to when I'm coming. The shooting is a lot of fun. Do well, don't do well. It's fun to be out and shoot with and against other people. And the wind is a challenge, and I might not always say out loud I like a challenge, but I do like a challenge. But I really do like being around people who are passionate about the same thing I'm passionate about.
Yeah, wow. All right. So, you said shooting. So what competitions are you in this year?
So, I had come planning to do all of them. The rifle I was bringing out for the Big Bore Slug decided that it doesn't want to hold as much air as I want it to hold. There's an O-ring thing that needs to be adjusted or fixed or replaced. And there's so many moving pieces to getting and being ready to shoot. And some of that is a mental game. I made a decision pretty much as soon as I hit the ground and checked the gauge and saw it didn't have the air that it had when I left Wisconsin, decided, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to do 100-yard bench rest, I'm going to do the precision rifle, and the speed. So
okay.
Three of the four. Okay. I had intended to do all four, but the big board is just not in the cards for this year.
Well, that's a decision that needs to be made that is hard to make.
It is hard to make. And, you know, when I sign up for something, I feel like I've made a commitment to do mm-hmm. something, and I hate to go back on something like that. But worse than that, like, if I had, like, okay, well, I can probably get a part. I could ask somebody else to help me with it. but I know I'm asking somebody who's also got their own stuff, and I don't want to intrude mm-hmm. on anybody else that way in a competition environment. It's a gun that I bought, honestly, to go to Michigan Deer Camp for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Simon at Lethal Air set it all up, and it was shooting great, and I made a mistake with it, and so an O-ring went bad. It's all on me. There's somebody here who wanted to shoot that but didn't get registered in time, and I just hope that that bench is full, and I hope whoever fills it takes the whole thing. I'd hate to be like, well, I'm going to try and try and try, and then at the last minute back out, not be over there, and see an empty bench come competition time because I didn't pull out fast enough, and somebody misses that opportunity to do it. So I think it was the right decision. I agonized over it, but I think it was the right call.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've seen. I've seen a couple other shooters go, you know what, I had this issue, or I'm just going to back out and please fill that with someone else.
Right. And they ask, you know, if you pay attention to social media leading up to the competition, there are regular posts that say, if for some reason you're going to withdraw from part or all, let us know because we have people on a waiting list to get mm-hmm. in. Okay. You know, I wanted to do it. It would have been my first time trying it. Shooting that far away is not within my wheelhouse. So it was something I saw as, you know, kind of a grow my skills sort mm-hmm. of thing. And that's, I think, why it was a hard decision, because I really wanted to do it. But it's the right decision to give the opportunity to somebody else whose gear is ready. And you think about how many people are here and how many rifles are here. It's not that air guns are delicate, but at some point you do hit a failure with something.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. So I'd rather it happen to me in a, well, that was going to be fun and trying something new, but not, like, for me, the core reason I'm here, I like 100-yard bench rest. That's my event.
Yeah, I could tell the long-distance shooting in your videos.
Yeah.
And big bore is a different discipline.
So totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah, okay. So the next question is what are you shooting with?
So for bench rest, I have an FX Impact M3. It's a 30 caliber. It's got a Element Optics Titan on it, various Saber Tactical things. So that's the bench gun. I have a Mark II Impact that is set up for speed. It has one of not many available Saber Tactical pump actions on it.
Ooh.
So that's my speed gun. One of the things that happened going from the Mark II to the M3 is that kit doesn't transfer directly over to that.
No, I didn't know that.
So the M2 stays because it's the speed gun.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can rattle off shots pretty quick with that. It's a lot of fun. I did get my hands on a carbon fiber tension sleeve for the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm running a prototype Donnie FL tuning moderator on it.
Oh.
So it's the most beautiful thing in the world. It's not anodized. It's got blood on it from I had it out on some pigeons one day. And I didn't bother to clean it off. So pretty excited. I love shooting that gun. It's a great gun, very accurate. And then I have another Impact M3 set up for the precision rifle. That one's shooting 22 caliber slugs.
Yeah, that's going to be an exciting competition this year.
Yeah, that's I have started this year to play in the slug world a little bit. I've had some opportunities to go shooting in places where slugs make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't make sense in a lot of the places I shoot. So that's been sort of a learning curve and learning a different way of shooting and different trajectory patterns and making different choices, selecting ammo and stuff like that. So we've got I've got a pretty solid setup on that. I had it down in Florida two months ago, probably now, out on an iguana hunt. Mm-hmm. And made some fantastic shots, so I'm pretty optimistic that I'll be able to hit what I need to.
I will concur. I saw that video.
Yeah, that trip was a
they had no choice
a great time
to stop.
Yeah.
That was good. All right. Well, do you have any final parting words before you go out?
I would just kind of say what I almost always say about an event like this is get out to an event like this if you can. You know, if anybody's listening at home thinking, man, that seems like a lot of fun and I wish I could go, they're going to do one next year. Start your planning. Mm-hmm. You know, figure out what you need to do to make the trip, because it really is a cool place to be. And if you're like I am a lot of times, where you know listen to the Airgun Geeks podcast and you're like, it's a voice of someone who knows what I know, and I feel like I get my time, this is the place to be.
Yeah, and I'd agree, even if you're not shooting, because I'm not shooting this
right.
year, just...
There are a lot of people here who aren't shooting.
The people is awesome, and the conversations. All right, well, I want to say good luck. Shoot straight. Don't shoot your eye out. And we'll see where you get at.
I'm hoping for the best. I just got to avoid the horse flies. I got bit by a horse fly before I left. I was like, it's my shooting eye.
it's the devil trying to get you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, thank you for your time, PJ.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye. All right, Izzy, how you doing?
Pretty good over here, enjoying the extended family out here at Rocky Mountain Airgun Challenge.
Yeah, I know. So it's good. How was your trip in?
Not bad. We drove in 2.5 days. It was actually pretty nice and smooth. No issues in traffic, no accidents, nothing, no bad weather. So I'm going to say it was a really good trip. A lot of nice sightseeing, a lot of nice greenery and desert-y, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so I don't want to take up too much of your time because you're like in that competitor mode.
No, man, take your time.
What does RMAC mean to Izzy?
Me? I would say, you know, meeting up with extended family, you know, let's say your regular family, you know, you got your regular family, you got your cousins, and they got your extended cousins that you know about, but you never really talk to them or see them in person. This is me getting to know more, the extended family, meet new family members that are in the airgun industry. You know, and then that's number one. Number two is just enjoying myself, doing my best on what I can out there, and whatever comes from it, I'll just make it a lesson learned for next time.
Cool. All right. So what events are you competing in?
I'm competing in the bench and the speed challenge and the slug challenge.
Oh. Yeah. All right. So with all of those different challenges required different tools. So what are you shooting?
I am shooting 2 impacts.
Okay.
My slug impact is my old Impact X that's been upgraded to the latest MK2 version. It does have a 800mm barrel, a few internal modifications that I've done that are mm-hmm. secret sauce that, you know, I really don't tell anyone. But the other one is going to be the Impact M3. Mm-hmm. Has pretty much the 700mm barrel. Sorry. Both of them are .22 caliber. I'm shooting the FX pellets, 25.89 grain. And then on the slug, I got a secret pellet or slug that I'm using that is not in production.
All right. Well, you all have our little advantages. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, if you were to give any advice to people that are listening about RMAC, mm-hmm. what would that advice be?
Don't overthink it. If you overthink it, you're going to start stressing yourself out. You're going to start thinking too much. You're going to get your heartbeat racing, and then you're just going to start moving. You're going to start panicking out there, you know, and all that creates additional movement that you don't want on the gun. Just be relaxed, you know. Come out here, enjoy it. You know, don't think about anything else, you know. I say the less distractions you have or stressing, you know, I think the better you do.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else that you think the listeners should know? Like, for example, I'm not shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having the time of my life with these people. It's like I've known them for years. They're very appreciative. They're grateful that I even showed up.
Yeah.
You know, so I just want to, like, agree with you that even if you're not shooting, come watch.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. You know, you get to meet new faces, you know. Like I said, you're meeting extended family, you know. Someone that you probably saw on YouTube, you know, you actually get to meet them in person out here, you know. Everyone here is very welcoming, loving. You know, we're here to help each other. And that's another thing, too. You know, you can always reach out to people for something you need. If, let's say my gun broke down, you know, I can probably reach out to someone out here. I'm sure someone will be out here. Use my gun for your event until you get your gun sorted out. Everyone out here is very helpful, very loving, and very caring. And one thing to expect out here if you come, expect different weather. It was cold this morning. Now it's about 90-some degrees. It's probably going to get a little bit hotter. But yeah, always come prepared for different weather. You don't know what's going to bring. If I recall correctly, the day before it was pouring.
That is what I heard. Yeah.
So, you know, come prepared. They shoot in the rain or not, you're still going to shoot. So be prepared.
Sounds good. All right, Izzy, I want to appreciate your time. Get you back in that competition mindset. And so that you can win this thing.
I was just going to go get some food so I can stop thinking about food and focus on competing, man.
I agree. I could smell them food trucks down the way there.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you having me over. You know, I hope anyone that listens to this can make it any time in the future out here. You know, we'd be more than glad to see you out here and meet all you new shooters out there, new or already shooters. You know, we're always glad to meet new faces.
Yeah. And for all the new listeners, Izzy actually works at Donnie FL.
Correct.
So he's the secret sauce behind everything. he doesn't like compliments too much, but yeah. No, or if you're getting you got comments or questions on any type of the suppressors, you'll get PJ Clark or Izzy answering those. So don't be afraid to ask. They'd be happy to help you out.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions, we're also on the Saber Tactical side. So if you guys have any questions regarding any of the products on Saber Tactical or Donnie FL, feel free to email us at, me personally, you can, at izzy@donniefl.com. Any questions you have, I'll try my best to answer them. If you leave me a phone number, I can call you back as well. I would rather call you back. It makes things a lot easier to explain than having you text it.
Okay. Very good information. Appreciate that. Yeah,
no problem.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Your name again?
My name is Nick Gregoris.
Okay.
Gregoris.
Okay. All right. Welcome, Nick Gregoris, to the Airgun Geeks podcast.
Well, hey, Bill, it's great to be here. I'm a big fan, and I'm excited to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have seen that you absolutely crush the Springer world, and now you're out of that element here. I don't think there's much opportunity for a Springer in this event, so... It must be, do you find that to be plays to your strengths or not?
Well, you know, shooting a Springer makes you a better shooter, period. So in that sense, it does play to my strengths, but
I
really
agree with that.
Yeah, I before last year, I exclusively shot 12 foot pound and 20 foot pound for field target. So now being shooting 2.5-3 times that energy and it, you know, 2-4 times the distance, it's really kind of taken me out of my comfort zone. And it's a whole new world. So this is only my second RMAC, so I'm still kind of learning the ropes of the bench rest challenge, but I love it. It's absolutely great, and I'll be back.
That is fantastic. So we've got three questions that we're running everybody through.
Shoot.
Just to keep you guys in the game. We don't want to take your minds out of that competition focus. We want to keep you vibrant for your competition.
Yeah.
So first question is, what does RMAC mean to you?
Man, well, RMAC to me, these big matches, RMAC, EBR, the Pyramid Air Cup, these are really where the camaraderie of the air gun industry is on full display.
Right.
I've never been in a competition where someone who I'm about to beat will tell me, oh my, your bolt's open, right? Like, close your bolt, make sure you don't blow that shot. People will literally help you diagnose your gun. Just the other day, I had a slight issue that I had to repair. And the FX team, who I'm competing against, they opened up their RV, let me use all their tools, opened up the shop at Utah Air Guns, kind of gave me free rein and just said, hey, do what you got to do. And that's really what this is all about. And it's also a time where you can kind of mingle, right? Because we have the forums, we have YouTube, we have the podcast, but given how dispersed the airgun community is across the country, across different states, it's very difficult to talk to people face-to-face.
Right.
And podcasts are great, YouTube is great, forums are awesome, but it's just, you can't beat just being able to sit down with someone and say, hey, how are you doing this, you know? So really, that's what it means to me. It's a chance to just integrate myself into the community for 5 days. I'm not thinking about anything else other than airgunning. It's just a chance to be fully immersed in the sport.
That is fantastic. That is so good to hear. So next question is, what events at RMAC are you participating in?
Yeah, so I'm shooting everything but the big bore. So I'm shooting the 100-yard bench rest, the speed challenge, and the precision marksmanship challenge. Out of those three, I feel most comfortable in the speed challenge and the precision marksmanship challenge. Speed shooting is kind of my shtick, whether it's with Springer or PCP, the single load type stuff at EBR and Pyramid Air. Yeah,
and I have seen you with a Springer doing speed shooting, and that is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I got these young guy arms. You know, I can cock it pretty quick. So I love it. That's the one that really gets me jazzed.
I bet.
People just, they go nuts when you're shooting a break barrel that quick. but 100-yard bench rest, I shot 10-meter for a very long time.
Okay.
So I'm very familiar with paper punching and bullseye shooting. I'm not familiar with doing it at 100-yard with pellets, right? Completely different thing. So this is the one where I've really had the steepest learning curve. And I was very, very humbled both this year and last year and at EBR because you think bench rest, how hard could it be, right? You're literally locked down. The gun doesn't move. But as soon as you pull that trigger and you're 10 inches out from your aim point, you're like, oh, my God. And then you take another sider and you're 7 inches out. And it's all over the place. So I'm really – bench rest is kind of – I shoot it because I'm here, but I'm really here for the speed and marksmanship challenges.
Right, right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So when you said you were a veteran 10-meter shooter,
yeah.
Was that in the youth level 10-meter, or was that as an adult?
Technically, I'm only 23, so I shot I was technically like U19 because the NRA stuff is you're a junior until you're 19. Mm-hmm. And really what I was most dominant in is in New York State we had something called Sporter Rifle, which is it's shot 50-foot. It's all offhand. There's a 7.5-pound weight limit and a 2-pound max or minimum for your trigger. I was state champion in that for like 7 years straight. I absolutely ran the table. That's really where I cut my teeth on competitive shooting, and I was doing field target concurrently with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm a much stronger positional shooter than a bench shooter at this point, which sounds kind of weird.
Right.
But you really have to practice bench shooting because the dominant strategy here is you take one and you squeeze your bag and you move up. But when you're introducing all of that additional tension and you're changing the ergonomics of how you interact with the rifle, you have to be absolutely sure to maintain the same trigger pull, the same angle, and also the same pressure on your cheek and your shoulder with your grip. It sounds asinine to say that stuff matters, but it absolutely does. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely different game, and I'm in love with it. I even though I'm not the best bench press shooter, it's great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So tell us, what are you shooting?
Today,
this week at RMAC.
This weekend, pretty much at all the RMAC EBR, I'm shooting my AirArms S510 and 25 cal.
Okay.
It's not stock. Last year, I came and shot it stock. I was shooting the 25 grain AirArms pellets at like 865. It was very, very accurate, but I was getting my butt kicked by the wind.
Yeah, that's pretty slow.
Yeah, and those 25 grain pellets, like I said, they're extremely accurate, but ballistically, they just aren't up to snuff with the 34 grain JSBs or the 31 grain Barracudas. So I figured out I needed some more power. And I hot-rodded my gun a little bit. So I'm shooting my S510 at 53 foot-pounds right now. And that's right about 865 with the Barracudas or like 845, 850 with the JSB 34s. I'm shooting the Barracudas just because I found they gave me noticeably better groups, so they're a little worse in the wind, but the difference in accuracy made up for it. And with my tune, I didn't actually do that much to it. I put a softer valve spring in there. Mm-hmm. so I could, because with the stock valve spring, I really had to add a big, beefy hammer spring. And for the speed stuff, that was not conducive to accuracy,
right,
or to consistent hits. So threw a lighter valve spring in there, polished the valve stem so it would move freely, and I free-flighted the hammer. So I only lost 5 shots from my original tune, but I gained 20% more energy.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of that tune.
Heck yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and other than that, I'm running for bench rest, I'm running a Scandinavian Airguns bipod. I just got it today. They're awesome.
I was looking at them over
yeah,
there. Yeah,
they're sweet.
Yeah, they are.
They're very innovative. But for marksman speed, I'm running my trusty AccuTacs because they're just indestructible and they're sturdy as heck. And for marksman, I'm shooting slugs out of the same gun. I'm shooting the H&N 28 grains, right about 885, and they're doing great, which surprised me, because everyone's saying, oh, you got to shoot slugs at 1,000 feet per second, but try them. And if they work, they work. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's kind of the rundown, you know, my trusty Air Arms.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. So you are supported by Air Arms as a
yes.
shooter?
Yes. Yep. I shoot for the, you know, Air Arms Pro Team. I think I'm their only U.S.-based shooter, especially for this. I'm really the only Air Arms shooter out here.
That speaks volumes, by the way.
I like
for them to let a Yankee come in. And be on their team is pretty freaking cool.
I know. They are really just the best company I've worked with. They're so good to me.
Yeah.
I'm so just absolutely jazzed. You can't see this enormous grin I have on my face, but I'm just so jazzed to shoot for them.
You can hear it.
And American Air Gunner as well, because since I'm the only shooter, I kind of roll with them. They're my posse, who I kind of hang with. But
that's a pretty cool posse to have.
It's great. Yeah. I've been shooting Air Arms stuff. My first real air gun was an Air Arms S300, which were made in like the 90s.
Yeah.
And there's photos of me from the Pyramid Air Cup in like 2017 shooting that for Field Target. I've shot TX200. I love their left-handed version. So it was just, I shot their S400 for speed shooting for years, and I took second at EBR with that. So it was just very natural for me to become sponsored by them. I've always been shooting their equipment.
That's pretty cool. You know, it's rare that I ever get to sit at a table where I am absolutely outpopulated by lefties. That never happens. And yet here I am, and I am the minority at this table today.
We don't get a lot of love, lefties. That's starting to change, though. You're starting to see ambidextrous cocking blocks and stuff like that. So I'm hoping, you know, we're getting a little, you know, affirmative action here in the air gun world, getting the lefties kind of
out there. Amazing. But that's pretty cool. Well, I want to thank you for participating in the Air Gun Geeks podcast today. I wish you all the luck in the world, and I hope you clean everybody's clock.
Well, you know, Bill, I'm going to be honest, me too. Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
You can't beat my boy, PJ Clark.
Okay.
I got his back, so take it easy when you...
I think I beat him last year in the speed challenge, but I'll, you know, we'll see how... If I'm ahead by a lot, if I can spare a loss, we'll see. I might...
Oh... Fantastic. Fantastic. All right.
Thank you so much, Bill. It was great talking to you.
Ton Jones to another episode of the Air Gun Geeks podcast. We are absolutely delighted to have you here.
Thank you guys for having me. This is awesome.
Fantastic. So first I want to introduce our listeners who may not be aware of the aura that is Ton Jones. And it is not Tom Jones, the musician. It is Ton Jones, the consummate connoisseur of fine air gun cooking.
Yes, thank you very much. I've been known to cook a little bit for everybody.
Yeah, I've read all about it. So tell us a little bit about your role with pretty much the only real publication that us air gunners have.
Yeah, I like to do, since I do a lot of cooking, every issue, well, I had to take a break for a little bit because I was injured, but I got back in the swing of things. I've been doing recipes for the air gunners. Everything from wild game or what you can have randomly in your kitchen and make a great meal out of.
Fantastic.
And it's usually enough to feed a whole crew of air gunners. It seems to be working really well.
Well, I'm going to make a recommendation as a way for Ton to save the world. You need to go down to Florida for a while and teach those guys how to make some kick-ass iguana, because it sure seems like there's an awful lot of air gunners putting iguana on the menu.
And it baffles me, because I've cooked iguana for the better part of 15 years.
No.
It is absolutely delicious.
Wow.
And I'm watching, we dropped a bunch of iguanas. We're doing abatement. We're doing our part. Did you cook it? Did you eat it? No, we went out to fast food. You guys are missing out. That is a delicious meat. It is absolutely easy to cook. And I'm thinking about doing a whole recipe behind iguana to get people to actually, if they tried it, they wouldn't be just dropping them and leaving them. They would be putting them in the freezer. It's amazing.
So I'm going to go on the record here, and I'm going to request that you take that one step further. I want to see the Ton Jones Iguana Cookbook. I think that could be an absolute hit.
I could actually do that I have about 12 to 15 recipes for iguana in specific.
Oh, there you go. We're done here.
Yeah. And I was actually, when I was filming the TV show, I was down in Florida. My friends were out iguana hunting. I was on break. And they brought back an ice chest with 6 iguanas in it. And they're like, we want to see if you could cook this. I said, we got this. Cooked them up. And for the next 4 weekends that I was out there filming, every weekend they'd bring me iguanas to cook because they're like, this is so good.
I was like, that is fantastic.
Oh. I did that one to myself. That but it was so really cool.
Yeah, you need to turn my co-host onto iguana because he's, you know, I don't know if he's convinced that that is as delectable as we know it to be.
It is amazing. Would you think that frog legs are good? Did you think escargot is good? Everybody eats them. It's delicious. Iguana is very simple, easy to cook. If you can cook an alligator, you can cook an iguana.
Yeah.
It's reptile meat. It's delicious. People eat rattlesnake. It's good. And trust me, I didn't get my perfect shape by not knowing good food.
Dude, these houses are built to last.
Exactly. I was like, I'm not going to go burn calories. I'm going to go make calories.
Fantastic. So we've got 3 questions that we're running all of our guests today through to kind of get a flavor for RMAC and what RMAC means to you. And the first question is, what does RMAC mean to you?
RMAC is an absolutely amazing event. And Justin, outstanding man. That guy is great. He asked me, last year was my very first RMAC. I'm a hunter. I'm known for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way up until I shot the event bench rest, I would tell Justin, I can't go out and stab it. I can't clean it. I can't eat it. Why am I going to punch paper? And it was kind of a closed-minded, looking back, it was closed-minded thought process. And the first time, last year I didn't even prepare for RMAC. I shot for about a half an hour before my gun shipped out. And I got here, sighted in. I was like, okay. I sighted my rifle in like I was getting ready to go hunting. But when the tournament started, you have 30 minutes. Put my earbuds in, listening to some music. And I have 25 targets to make count. And I thought about this. I'm all, if I can do my best on 25 targets, this is the ultimate preparation for hunting when one shot matters. And then I was thinking, well, hunting makes me good at bench rest. Bench rest makes me good at hunting. That 30 minutes was so peaceful, so quiet. And if I had a bad shot, I moved on. It's not like hunting when you have a bad shot, you feel like crap, you're like, oh, I did that, that's horrible. No, I got so obsessed after my first round. Last year, I was sitting next to the great John Bagakis, the mass speeder, the reaper, the Greek god, and I felt bad for this poor guy. I sat down, I was like, I'm standing up next to him waiting for everybody to get ready to go, not knowing how bench rest is done. I was like, looked over him. Can we go now? He's like, no. I'm like, how about now? He's like, no. He's all, looked at me. He's like, first event? I said, yes. He's like, what are you doing? I said, following you. He's like, oh, God, no. So I got to sit right next to John Bagakis on my very first event.
No intimidation.
And I was mirroring everything he did. And we sat down, and when I finally got to air up my gun, he's like, you might want to fill your mag, too. I was like, oh, yeah. And he's over there dying laughing. And I'm like getting everything ready. It was complete chaos. But when everything was said and done and I squeezed that first round off, all the stress went away. And I know other people treat it differently. It's a lot of pressure on them. For me, it was a stress relief. It was just noise-canceling earbuds. And I'm sitting in there shooting. And it was so peaceful, quiet, and calm. And I had no other care in the world. I had nothing else on my mind, just me and the target. Mm-hmm. And for that 30 minutes, even after I was done shooting my target, I just sat there at the bench and looking through my scope, checking my target. It was amazing. I've been so hooked, and I told Justin, I'm all, thank you for having this event. This brought a whole new love to air guns for me. This event took me from just a hunter to competing and loving it. And now it's a real struggle internally between what is my favorite, going hunting with an air gun or coming to the competition.
Right.
When I'm hunting, it's just me by myself. I get to come to the competition and visit with everybody, and I absolutely love it. This has brought a whole new level of love and respect to air gunning for me.
Fantastic. Would you agree that when you come to an event like RMAC, the person you're competing against is you?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
You get that mindset, and you can go to a contest like this, and you know that you're competing against the same guy that was sitting at home on his range flying pellets.
Yeah, it's. I try to explain to everybody, and I was discussing this with my wife before I came. She's all, is there other great shooters? I'm all, everybody has the capability of being a great shooter. I said, it's not about me competing against them. I'm in my lane.
Yeah.
The only person I got to beat is my score last year.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to do is outdo what I did the year before. That's how you get better. I'm not worried about everybody's cards. I want to know where I land.
Right.
And it's, for me, I don't go up and like, oh, where did these people land? If they're from my friends, I still look and I was like, if they beat me, I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
I am ecstatic. I mean, that means one of my friends did his absolutely best and kicked butt and got a great score, made it to the finals, even won the finals. I am happy for them.
Yep.
I'm not disappointed I didn't make it. That's selfish.
Yep.
And it's a family here, and I'm ecstatic when I go up. And I explain this to people, as long as you do better than you did last year, that's all that matters. You're competing against yourself. No one else is shooting in your lane. This is not a speed event. This is bench rest. Concentrate, focus, squeeze the trigger, put the pellet where it belongs.
Yep.
And if you can do that and get better every time, you're progressing with the competition.
Yep. Fantastic. Fantastic. So tell us, what events are you shooting here at RMAC this year?
I'm actually only doing the Slug Challenge and bench rest. I was set up for PRS, but due to my schedule, I did not have time to practice. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to take that away from someone that is actually practicing and registered late and didn't have a spot. So I called Justin. I said, hey, bro, it'd be a jerk move of me to go up knowing I'm not prepared and take a chance away from someone winning $20,000 that's actually prepared. So I backed out. So I'm only going to be doing bench rest and the Slug Challenge.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, the final question I have for you is, I can see your shirt. What gun are you using to compete with, or guns, plural, are you using to compete with here at RMAC this week?
For the bench rest, I'm using my Rapid Air Works, RAW, HM1000X in 25 cal.
Mm-hmm.
I have it set up with the Gray Ops Arca Rail, Accutac Bipod, MDT stock, my scope, and my gun is set up different than most bench rest guns. I am not going for a lot of weight. A lot of shooters go for a lot of weight.
Sure.
The way I hold the gun and the way I place it works great for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people look at my gun, they're like, oh, it's awful light. I said, I'm fat. I lean on the gun. It ain't moving nowhere, bro. Let's be real. Come on. I ate a cheeseburger for breakfast. Come on.
Yeah.
So
that's fantastic.
For bench rest, I'm doing the HM1000X from RAW in 25 cal. For the Slug Challenge, I'm going with the tried and true Texan Long Barrel 457.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. No moderator, old-fashioned aluminum bottle. I'm completely, the only thing that's not stock is the paint job.
Wow. You are bringing all the noise to the party.
Oh, yeah. It's going to bark. I want everybody to know when I squeeze that round off.
Yeah.
Moderator, more on ya. I want the world to know that I just shot a Texan.
That's fantastic. That is amazing.
It's going to be some good times.
Yep, yep. Well, I look forward to seeing how you do.
So how are you guys enjoying this event? Does anybody ever ask you how you are enjoying this event?
I am very fortunate in that I have two sets of fans when I'm traveling with Patrick. I have the fans that are I've through parasitic symbiosis I've attracted from him, but then I also have the Target Forge YouTube channel that also brings fans to this too. And a lot of times, if we can capture video, I throw that up on my channel too.
So, has anybody asked you what RMAC means to you yet?
No, they have not.
What does it mean to you?
RMAC means to me the ability to come here and connect with the people in a very, very face-to-face way. And I am a firm believer that true human communication happens just like you and I sitting opposite each other. I can see your face. I get so much more information in that exchange than I can get with all of the video technology in the world.
100% agree.
Yep. That's my vibe here, for sure.
It is amazing to be able to sit down with people face-to-face and have a conversation. Not through email, not through text message, not through watching a video.
Yep.
But a true face-to-face interaction means the world to most people.
Heck yeah. It's great.
Well,
I want to thank you for joining us here on the Airgun Geeks podcast. I thank you for your time. I want to get you back in your competition mindset and get you back out there and kick some butt.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
All right, Airgun Geeks, we have a special guest here. We have Joshua Thomas, and all you guys who've been watching Up North Air Gunner and him competing against this firearms guy, I finally got him at RMAC. So, Joshua, thank you for giving up some time on this competition day and showing up in RMAC. So tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah, no, happy to be here. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. I have been shooting competition kind of center fire things for a couple years. And a lot of people think that I never shot an air rifle before this, but I actually was kind of the guy who went out and bought the 25 cal M-Rod like everybody else, and I was amazed when I could shoot 35 yards and shoot grapes off of golf tees and shoot the golf tees, and really thought I was a just super sniper. And that was probably 13 years ago. I ended up buying a Wildcat. With what we had then, you could shoot a lightweight pellet, and that was pretty much reality for air guns.
Mm-hmm.
So I still own those guns. I have a BSA 22. But I kind of looked at them as toys. And so throughout the years, about 3 years ago, I started shooting USPSA. I still am a National Guardsman, so I ended up doing a deployment in 2019, 2020 to Saudi Arabia. And when I came back, I was unprepared. There was no primer. So it's really hard to compete with pistol when you can't have ammunition. So I started shooting precision rimfire, fell in love with it. And a lot like you guys, I kind of geek out on the fine details of what makes things tick. And I love pushing myself and learning new things. So eventually I stumbled across this guy from Up North Air Gunner, Chris Turek, and Norm Shanley, both FX shooters, and they were kind of asking me 22 questions. And I was kind of, hey, who are these air rifle guys, and why do they want to push into my world? You know, I kind of felt the 22 precision world was mine, and I kind of wanted to defend it. So, we talk a little bit of junk between each other, and one thing leads to another, and me and Chris kind of have some playful YouTube videos. I think a lot of people took them a little more serious than what they were, because at the end of the day, most content creators are very supportive of each other, and it was all in good fun. And throughout the mix, I decided to get another air rifle. I wanted to expand my audience and learn some new things and grow the community that I had built on my channel. And so I got linked up with Justin Jacobson from Utah Air Guns and told him what I wanted to do. And he said, well, why don't you shoot an impact? And I kind of said, well, what the heck is an impact? And I had no idea. I had turned my blinders on. And, I got the impact. I started shooting some videos. And one thing led to another. And Chris Turk decided he needed yet another beat down from me, so we met up in Wilmington. I got to see all the new FX mods that just came out for the M3. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everybody knows what those are, with the power block, the tungsten hammer, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed. I had no idea that air guns had come as far as they had come, because when I linked up with Justin, I was shooting a 30 cal pellet gun, so it was very much reminiscent of what I had done, although, more user configurable and all the things that existed in the M3. But now I had this super powerful 22 caliber gun in my hands in Wilmington, and I'm shooting 40 grain projectiles 1,000 feet a second at soda cans at 400 yards and doing it repeatedly, and that's what's kind of bringing me here to Armagh.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, and I personally love the videos between you two. I didn't take it too far. I was just excited that a firearms guy has crossed the bridge and look at it. But I also want to say thank you for your service. It's greatly appreciated.
Appreciate that.
And never forgotten. So we've been asking our guests three questions.
Okay.
And the first one is what does Armagh mean to you?
So for me, it's probably a much different answer than you've gotten today, because this is a first-time experience for me. And right now, you know, it's to me, it's if I had to summarize it, it's community, you know, because I'm a firearms guy. It's very different. The shooting community together is amazing, and I think across all levels of shooting, the shooting community is always great. Whether it's rimfire, centerfire, air rifles, the community is kind of very supportive. But when you get the manufacturers as invested as the community is, it's kind of something that really stands apart. And that's a lot of what you see here is really just a big group of amazing people who are all invested in the same thing, coming together to kind of have fun. And even though this is a competition, this is probably the most carefree competition, because everybody is really more focused on the community than that. Yeah. And so for me, it's been, you know, kind of an amazing, you know, experience and something totally new for me.
That's cool. Yeah, the culture it's very friendly. And, yeah. I understand what you're talking about the firearm side. All right, so what competitions are you in? I'm assuming the PRS one.
Yes, I'm going to shoot. So I may shoot speed. Okay. And quite honestly, that was like get the jitters out, get more trigger time on a M3 and have some fun, because I'm 37 years old, and I've seen some of these younger kids shoot the speed competition, and I'm just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, do you go and decide to start sprinting against, you know, Hussein at, you know, 37? No, you just kind of have fun with it. So I might do that. And but precision marksman is obviously why I'm here. So mm-hmm. That's kind of my lane. And but there's some amazing, like, PRS guys here. I'm not the only ones mm-hmm. that, like, you know, that have kind of been brought in. You know, you got Mr. Linder. You've got Aaron Hip. I think he's going to be here, although I haven't seen him. You have Justin Welch, who's, you know, big in the air gun community, but also a, you know, very well-known NRL shooter and PRS shooter. So a lot of really competitive shooters that are going to be here. And I'm sure they would love to kind of hand it back to me out there.
I bet. All right, so also, so you've mentioned the M3, but so what guns are you shooting?
So I am both the guns I would shoot be an M3. So for speed, I'll shoot a 30 caliber, just kind of like a bone stock M3. And then if you've watched the channel or seen any of the new releases, the Precision Marksman is also an M3 and 22 cal, the 800 millimeter barrel. It has the power block, the tungsten upgrade, and basically, you know, it's saber tacticaled out. There are mm-hmm. top and bottom rail. I have MDT chassis weights on it. I kind of brag about the gun because it's a gun that I saw and purposely built for PRS, and I think it's probably the most capable PRS gun at the event. Of course, there are better shooters than me, so I don't really have many excuses, but it's a very formidable rifle for both an air rifle competition, and it certainly wouldn't hold me back in an NRL 22 match either. Mm-hmm. It's very, very competent and ready to roll.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your competition day, and I want to keep you in that mindset, the competition mindset, and we'll be in the back cheering for you.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It was nice to sit and meet you and talk and sit in the shade for a while.
All right. Hey, no problem. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Airgun Geeks fans. We have a unique guest with us today. He is actually relatively new-ish to the airgun community. I got the pleasure of meeting him last year at Armagh, right here on this very ground. And he was introduced to me as John, the friend of PJ. And
yes.
That's all I knew him as. But I knew right away that if I had an opportunity as Target Forge, he would have been one of my shooters here at Armagh.
Well, thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, John, tell us a little about yourself and where you are in the airgun world.
Well, As you mentioned, last year we met. That was my first year at RMAC. I never would have expected to see myself here. Never. Really got started with air guns thanks to PJ. He tends to drag me along in his wake when he picks up a new habit. And it's a good time. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
But he's been really teaching me a lot as we go. He tends to be the one that does the research, and he's the one that I see what he has and I go, I like that. I think I need that in my life. And, you know, here we are.
So let me see if I get this straight. You kind of let PJ go out in front.
Yes.
Make sure it's safe.
Absolutely.
And when he gets jazzed on something, you're like, yeah, okay, I'll have some of that. That's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the positive spin on it. I think the reality is he does something, and I can't seem to resist following, doing whatever he's doing, because we have a good time. I want to say we first met when he first started teaching at the technical college in our area, and I was coming back to school. So we met, he was first starting as a teacher there, and I was first coming back as a student there.
Oh, wow.
And we got to know each other, and we found that we really got along. And before you know it, he started saying, hey, you want to go play some paintball? Sure, that sounds like fun. And then a few years later, it became airsoft, and we, you know, spent a bunch of money on paintball, spent a bunch of money on airsoft. Now we're spending a bunch of money on air guns and really enjoying it. It's, you know, I joke about how we got into it, but I really am grateful and honored to be here with these people. A lot of really good people here.
Heck yeah, I have to agree with that.
And I learn something all the time. It's always fun, even, you know, when things don't go well. It's pretty easy to shrug it off and try again.
Yeah. I think, you know, I would like to use John as a example of, you know, you can get off that couch and you can come out and compete. This is not a casual local competition.
No.
This is a big deal.
No.
And John is here, and he's competing, and he's punched fear in the face, and he's here.
Yep.
And that, to me, is absolute magic, and I think a testament to the airgun world.
Yeah.
That you can transition that easily. And for anybody that's listening out there that's thinking, oh, maybe I could give competition a try, do it. Just throw yourself into it.
Yeah, we hear people all the time who haven't done it yet. They keep saying, well, I'm not ready yet. I don't have everything I want yet. And we just keep telling them, just do it. Just do it. If you work with what you have, whatever it is, and if you find that it's would be better if you get something else, well, then you'll know.
Yeah.
But you see a wide variety of tools out here, different air guns, different optics, different bipods. There's some consistency with some brands, but then you'll see a handful of people that are doing completely different things, and that doesn't mean they're not going to do as well.
Heck yeah.
Ultimately, it comes down to how much you practiced. Out here especially, how well you can read the wind. It's like a genie in a bottle, and it's not a nice one.
And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because there's really two schools of thought when it comes to wind. There's the instrumented guy who is taking data and letting that data drive his data sheet, and whatever that computer spits back at him, he's going to make some adjustments and send it. And then you've got the guys that are more like Ted from Ted's Holdover, who are just, man, they're feeling that vibe. They've done this so many times. That internal ballistic computer in their brain is making that call, and they're going to send it, and they're going to connect.
Right.
It's two different ways to the same solution. Which one do you use?
Right now, I would say I fall more towards the latter. I'm not going to say that I do it successfully, but when I have tried to get involved with the different wind flags and wind meters, I have found that for me, while it's good information, and the more you get, the better you can be. The caveat to that is you have to be able to process the information. If you get too much information, you get overloaded and you start to freeze up. I start to freeze up. Maybe yeah. some other folks feel differently. I think PJ tends to feel the same way. We like to have a little bit of information from the wind flags, but we keep it very basic, very fundamental. Because we did try to have a bunch of wind flags at different distances going out, and we found that it was too much for us. And then with the way they have these targets set up here, they've got these sighter targets along the bottom of the target, and you can shoot those as many times as you want. Many times as you want. You've got 30 minutes to shoot 25 targets.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an eternity. It's so much time. So there are some people, I think, that really don't hardly use the wind flags at all. They depend on those sighter targets. They'll, you know, they might glance at the flags because there's flags all up and down the range. Somebody's always got flags out there. And then they'll take a shot at the sighter. And, you know, if they get, well, I think a lot of folks, if you get a couple of good shots on a sighter, okay, let's take a shot. And if the shot's good, let's take another shot. Let's keep moving up the target. And if you, you know, the only risk with that is if you're not at least glancing at the flags to see if the wind has changed, you'll keep going, getting good targets, and then the wind will change on you and you'll throw one.
Yeah.
So it's a balance you have to strike. And I'm going to be honest, I don't do it well yet. It is a challenge. And as you pointed out, there's a lot of different techniques on how to overcome that challenge.
Sure, sure. And, you know, you're a humble guy, but I want to point out to our listeners that this guy is absolutely rocking the Donnie FL colors here in a full-on race shirt. So don't let this guy's understatement undersell you.
Well, I don't know. After they see the card I just shot, we'll see.
Well, we have three questions that we want to ask all of the guests on the podcast today. And the first one is, what does RMAC mean to you? What does it mean to John?
A good time. Absolutely above all else. A good time.
Fantastic.
PJ and I, we came out here a few days ahead from the perspective of how we're going to do RMAC. The plan was to get some practice in. We were able to get out here a little earlier this year than we did last year. But immediately, it was just so much fun to hook up with the people that we met last year.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people that were, you know, on the Donnie FL team that we were hanging out with, and also just some of the other folks that got here early. And when I go home, you know, after the weekend, what I'm going to remember the most is all the fun I had visiting with people.
Heck yeah.
All the cool things I saw. You know, the vendors come out with all their new stuff, you know, kind of like
SHOT Show. Or
thank you, exactly, yes. SHOT Show. They come out with all the gee whiz new stuff. A lot of times it's not even ready yet. But you get a little taste of that here, too. On the upside, with the air gun world, as far as so far, if they show you what they have, if it's not out shortly, it's coming out real soon. It's not like where, as you pointed out, out in Vegas, when they bring something out, it might be 5 years before they roll it out for production. So that's a lot of fun too. And it's just impressive what the guys from Utah Air Guns do with the staff they have to get all this set up and get all this running. I know they get a lot of support from the vendors, but just the boots on the ground from the guys at Utah Air Guns, there's a lot of work that goes into this.
Oh, heck yeah. They are propping this whole thing up on their shoulders. Yeah. Absolutely.
But for me, this is my one vacation of the year where I get to go and really just have a good time.
Yeah, so you're here to play.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I want to shoot well, but I'm not going to let that affect what I'm here to do, which is to have a good time and learn.
Good. So that actually is a great segue into our next question, which is, what events are you here to shoot?
All of them.
All of them.
Yep.
Yeah, he's here for all the beans.
Yep. Well, I figure, you know, it's kind of like buying lottery tickets. You know, the more you buy, the better your odds are you might be successful.
Yep, yep.
No, I PJ will tell you, I love to shoot.
Yeah.
Whether it's air guns or whether it's, you know, real steel or powder burning guns. I just really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much every aspect, every type of school of shooting that I've tried, to one degree or another, I would do it again. I would, and I would enjoy it. So I'm going to be, you know, I'm shooting in the 100-yard bench rest. Shot my first card just before we started talking. Tomorrow I'll shoot my second card. And then I think Saturday, no, I take that back. We're doing either the PRS or the speed shooting as well tomorrow. I can't remember which. And then Saturday the other. But then somewhere in there I'm also doing the big bore, a Magnum slug competition.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be jumping from shooting a 25 caliber pellet gun up to a 58 caliber slug gun.
Oh, my gosh. So that actually leads us into our next question.
Sure.
What hardware are you using here at RMAC for your events?
Right now, the air rifle that I'm using is the FX Crown. It's a little bit older model. It's the Mark II.
Yeah, here. We're getting some knuckles on that. I'm a Crown fan myself.
I love it. I love it. It's a great firearm. Or, no, not firearm. Sorry. Too much talk about different things.
Yeah.
It's a great air rifle.
Yeah.
It absolutely does everything anybody would want to do. If you, especially if you like the appearance and the feel of your more traditional style long gun.
You are tugging my heartstrings right now.
it really fits like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other really cool stuff that's very effective, but I like the Crown.
Mm-hmm.
For the slug gun, I'm actually using PJ's AEA Zeus, the 58. He was gonna use an Air Force Texan. He had some problems with that, and I said, no, you should take the other gun. And he said, well, you spent a lot of money on the slugs. And I said, yeah, you're right.
That is awesome.
For optics, I'm a big, big fan of the Element optics. They're just rolling out a new scope. We got to take a peek at it, Utah Air Guns. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Glass. Oh, yeah.
There are some
really... We geeked out like crazy on that earlier.
I saw that, and I just shook my head because I want it so bad, and I really don't need it, but I want it.
And you went and looked at that checking account balance, and we're like, oh, boy.
It's going to be a while. It's a good thing they're not out for production just yet, so I've got a little bit of time.
I agree.
But, yeah, I like the Element optics. A lot of folks out here, myself included, big fan of the AccuTac bipods.
Oh, yeah.
Really solid bench shooting platform.
Yep.
Pellets, a lot of us are still using, I can't think of the name now, it's a Czech company.
JSB?
Thank you. Most of us are still using the JSB, but the FX pellets, you're seeing a lot more people starting to kind of transition over to those. It sounds like they're made in the same place, but maybe a little tighter tolerances on the production of the FX is kind of what I've heard.
So the way I understand that is that FX actually owns their dies.
Right.
So the only pellets that come off
are theirs.
Are going their tins are off their dies. So they are able to control that element of the quality very well.
Yeah.
And I myself use a crap ton of FX pellets because I appreciate that level of quality that brings.
Well, and I know one thing that PJ showed me when he was sorting his was the deviation in weights was significantly a smaller gap with the FX than it was with the JSB.
Mm.
With the JSBs, you wind up sorting out, you know, maybe six or eight different weights, whereas with the FX, it's more like three or four.
Wow.
It was a pretty big difference.
That's pretty telling.
Now, don't get me wrong. You can still do very well with the JSB. But as you pointed out, from a machining standpoint, from a production standpoint, if you are making everything off of the same thing and you're making sure that those dies for the molding are staying within the tolerance and they're not getting too worn, you're going to be able to produce more of the same every time.
Yep.
It's going to be closer to the same every time.
Agreed.
Just makes it easier for us end users so we don't have to spend time with a scale and all that. That's no fun.
No, I agree. Well, John, I want to thank you for coming on the Airgun Geeks podcast with us. I want to thank you for sharing what is exceptionally valuable time here, not getting you out of that competition zone for a minute to chat with us. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your participation here, and we were really glad to have you.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'm honored that you asked me to come on here and have a chat with you. And you keep making those Target Forge targets, man. You're making some good stuff.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Air gunners, near and far, imagine an open canvas to create the target presentation you've always wanted. Here it is, the center of the erector set for ranges. Quickly attach lengths of 3/4-inch conduit to common T-posts for an easy up, easy range. Grab yourself some T-posts at your local hardware or home store. A bit of conduit, even the legs off your quickie set. You'll be ready to fly some pellets in no time. Reusable, durable, and tough. The Target Forge way. Also, check out the Range Erector Set, Mega, Standard, and Basic. Also, remember, Airgun Geeks, use Super Geek 10 to save 10% on your order. Check them all out at targetforge.net.